Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Consciousness Shift. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I am here with Gwen Barry, my co-host, who's in South Florida. I'm over here in New York. Everyone's having a little taste of spring, and that's what we're talking about today. The solar eclipse we just had, the new moon, the vernal equinox, big shifting. So, hi, Gwen. Yeah.
Hi, Nicole. Yeah, pretty. At 5:36 a.m. yesterday, I was actually up doing a few alchemical chores for the solar eclipse. The solar eclipse, you know what it is? I think personally, the solar eclipse is a reboot for the solar system every time it does it. We get about two of them a year, two to three. Some years we don't have any, but that's rare, actually. But this one coincided with a changing of the seasons for the Earth Mother with the equal day for night. Vernal equinox came like 10 hours later. And it did it in a Pisces new moon, which is, you know, the a perfect new beginning. A powerful catalyst yesterday for new beginnings, you know?
Yes. It's every 6 months that the eclipse ends one phase and starts another, and then Pisces being the last sign of the zodiac, moving into Aries, the first sign, death and rebirth. That's the week we're in right now. That's the week I was born in. So, one foot in, one foot out, all the time.
Happy, happy birthday coming up to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And this Pisces critical degree, you know, it's all happening at the last 29 degrees, 27 seconds. It's like everything, it's just so obvious that the cosmos are talking to us so loudly if we're paying attention. The signs are everywhere as to what's going on. If you're wondering what's going on, look to the stars, like my friend Andrea Clem says.
Well, you know, too, it's a great time for change. But right now, I think the universe is talking intimately to every individual in that it's compelling magnetically people to wash away or give up the negative aspects of ourselves so that we can move on, move in to a new energy. If you've got a self-imposed prison or you're working with negative issues and patterns, habits and addictions, that kind of thing, this is a time right now, the way that all the planets are situated in the system in the solar system that are compelling us or pulsing us, Saturn and Jupiter in relation to this eclipse suggest finding and connecting your inner truth and eventually, you know, speak it even if your words shake, you know, get used to doing it. Because there's times when I know I want to speak my truth, but I'm just so personally withholding it because of what I might think somebody might think, or you understand.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to bring up because I was listening to Matt Kahn talk about integration of the soul that's happening right now with the start of this equinox and new cycle. And he was saying that the integrated soul, when things come up, it's not that we're supposed to just always be in some Zen lotus position and nothing affects us. We're here in the flesh, in the body, and we have these experiences and we feel things about it. But he was saying the difference is the integrated soul says, I am anger. Anger is me at the moment. Let's say you're angry. Instead of I am angry, it's like a difference. I'm feeling anger. Anger is me at the moment. And then you can sort of work with it without getting totally into the feeling of it. And then talking about talking your truth, that it's like if you, it's very interesting because, you know, we're looking to say our truth, but also everything doesn't need to be said. And maybe if we don't feel too much about it, we don't have to say anything, but yet we should still express ourselves. The balance.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Today the moon has gone into Pisces, and that's a lot of new energy. Uranus is also an aspect here. The goddess of the hunt. I'm looking at Sarah Gilbert's take on the Aries moon that we're going into, and it is, it's more individualistic energy that's being reinforced with all of these changes that the eclipse has just brought around, the eclipse and the equinox, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, accepting who you are and all your uniqueness and your quirks and how you feel and all those things, how you do things. And that way we're more integrated with ourselves and then the world works better around us.
That's true. That's really true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this Pisces. Pisces is all about completion, and also everything. So one aspect that keeps coming up is accepting the past. I mean, we're clearing. We've been doing this clearing for a long time. Now it's about final clearings. I mean, there's always going to be stuff, but things that are holding you back, like negative self-talk or constant worry or fear or those things, and breaking those paradigms, which so many of us have been doing a really great job with. And I think that's part of it, to really recognize more and more how well we are actually doing when we're paying attention and giving ourselves more credit. I mean, I've been saying this for years, but it just seems more tangible right now and more possible to go, okay, whatever I did in the past, that's it. Here we are. This is me. Those things made me who I am. And here we go forth, finding out who I am this way.
Well, that's healthy. I mean, that's really healthy. That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
I see where we have that opportunity to be aware more. I agree with you. We have a fuller awareness in the now of who we are with each choice we're making. It's very present. It's like you can't walk around asleep.
Right, especially if you've had a taste of being awake. And, you know, once you wake up, it's like the blue pill and the red pill. It really is. Once you take it, you know you can't go back to sleep because you don't want to. I mean, you can. That's what Cypher does. He wants back in. But, you know, he's one of those anomalies that just happened to be there.
Oh, I get you. Okay.
Yeah.
And the world is going through tremendous changes in front of our eyes really quicker than ever before. You know, there's as much, I look for all of the good news with all of the obvious stuff that's going to come across the screen. And there are good things happening.
Very.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm listening.
I mean, at the same time that all of this energy was building up to yesterday's little gateway there, the little opening, we had CERN finding and possibly capturing a God particle, an antimatter. I mean, I don't have the fear of it that some people do, you know? I see it as an opportunity for science to advance with consciousness, or vice versa, and for us to find some solutions to some of the horrendous problems we have in keeping this a home for the generations to come.
Yeah, we have to integrate the science with the metaphysical, with the soul and spirit, with the body, with the planet. I mean, it's all about integration right now, which is so great, because you can't, I mean, you can be mad at things, but you don't have to be. Everything can be incorporated, and fear of, well, CERN is happening. You know, we are crashing atoms into each other. We want to know. We're looking. And clearly, we have enough protection and guidance here that, you know, if we go too far, there is intervention, you know, going around turning off missiles and things when, you know, we're getting a little irie.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
I do.
I don't wonder over it. I'm learning to accept that the overall consciousness of the planet has a large part to play in the way we wag and what is happening. I also know that we can't walk through this sleepwalking with thinking that it's being handled on other levels. We have to handle it down here.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise, you know, you're getting left behind. Everyone, they say, is going to come with us eventually. I think it's by like 2035 or something, everyone will have to make the leap into the, some sort of ascension. I mean, we're still here. That's like a big topic. But
I'd like to see a little show me on that. You know me.
Yeah.
Give me a little show me here. And honestly, I think it's all about consciousness. I think it's about being aware that you're thinking multidimensionally already.
Right, exactly. And what you're doing with your own personal life, and how much, really, how content, joyful, happy you feel more often, then that is affecting the fields around you. I mean, we're all ripples in the pond, right? We're all sending it out. So
that's true. That's true. You have to be conscious of how you're thinking, actually, mm-hmm. when you're sitting around thinking the bad stuff. But these are old lessons, and we know them. Mm-hmm. But also to be said here, they're old behavior patterns.
Right.
And old behavior patterns are not always so easy to disconnect from, even if we grow away from them. They're still there in the makeup, you know?
Right.
They can be used as a resource too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big shift forward, and it is a conclusion of things that happened. There's also, what is it, Uranus-Pluto square or Saturn square, something that was happening since October of 2012, and now it's...
There was a cardinal cross.
There you go.
To deal with in the sky. You know, Tom Lesher did a little spiel about that in his last update, the Pele report, that was pretty much on the money. And he was very positive. He also said that, you know, you can't be lazy about it now. You got to do it.
Right, because we're going one way or the other. I mean, Aries is the big boom forward. Here we go. Aries is I am, I desire, and I'm doing it. So, you know, in order to enjoy your ride, these are the tools. Yeah, they're old lessons, but there's no other way to do it. It's how you feel is paramount to everything, because it affects everything, because it shows you where you're at.
Yeah, well, you're quite right. Aries is the tool that is the energy of get it done, I'm doing it, of marshaling resources. Always remember, too, the way that Aries marshaled resources and what he did with them.
Go on. I mean, we know he's the god of war, but...
That's what I'm saying, mm-hmm. too. But gosh knows we've got enough of that going on. It just seems that the... You know, I think what the big... what the major amount of transmutation is in that with humanity is in the redefining of war itself.
Also including the inner Athena, you know, that's the balance. If you're the god of war, you have to consult with Athena and actually listen to what she has to say. And then it's different. And there's always a different way. I mean, there are wars that we're fighting. You know, I mean, we don't like to use the word fighting, but we are, you know, we're it can be a battle in ourselves. And also, if you go into places that are filled with negative energy, I mean, you know, your spirit guides and you and your energy is all doing what kind of looks like a war.
Yeah, it's fatiguing oftentimes. Right. That's why we have to remember to use meditation tools, work with our visualizations, protect ourselves, and light ourselves up, because a lot of the majority of urban areas on the planet right now have a great deal of negativity going on in the capsule of fear. You know, and when that's going on, it's, you know, you make the difference. You can make a whole city block laugh. All you have to do is be kind, you know, or tell a joke to somebody who's willing to listen or who listens despite themselves. You understand what I'm saying? The little vibratory seed that you plant, like you were talking about before. If we become more and more aware of that and we walk our talk, and when as often as we think of it, just remain kind and put the peace out there and the balance, you know, it makes a big difference. But always remember that these archetypal energies have their... I agree with you about Athena. However, that's the goal, really, is a more matriarchal society instead of this overwhelming patriarchy.
Right.
That we're dealing with.
Right.
So you were in Boston last week.
Yes.
And you had a really great time. Share.
Yes, I went to a psychic fair in Manchester, New Hampshire, and it's at the Yard. Andrea Klem, K-L-I-M, puts it together. This is what was their 40th, and a lot of the same vendors have been coming through. So I got a Aura Soul portrait, which she draws you and then your aura and explains, and she's extremely intuitive. We're going to have her on the show on the 4th of April to talk about her work. And we also, the other one I partook in is she does tuning forks. So she works with your vibration.
Resonance. Yeah.
Yeah. You said you had that done.
I did an awfully long time ago when we were first opening Daughters. We had someone in, a practitioner down here by the name of Arjuna, who was an astrologer, and she worked with the tuning forks to heal the fields of your light body. And I got to tell you, you know, I'm that show me grain of sand in my boot. And she worked on me. I opened up, and she worked on me, and it was like a 2-hour deal. And I got to tell you what, wow! It knocked the stuffing out of me for a day.
Right.
And then it was a really wonderful experience, and I think it opened me up to a higher dimensional quality of thought and a straighter path to my mental body, if you will.
Nice. Yes, absolutely. I didn't get the tuning forks, but my friend Diane Mallett did, and she actually had a huge shifting going on. Well, and she was also reading. She's our psychic reader at Spirit Therapy. And she was sitting next to the tuning forks for about 6 hours. So she really, and got it done. So she really had a dose.
I'd say. I know my sister left yesterday in the morning, just after the eclipse began. And she drove up the I-4 corridor to her girlfriend in Tampa. And they were in ceremony last night. And my sister said that, you know, every spook's in town, Gwen. She said that there was a lot of visitors into their ceremony, and I thought that was interesting. I myself was with the kids. Her son is taking care of her house today, so he and his girlfriend and I were having dinner here and just enjoying the evening. But I can certainly see why yesterday was a wonderful day to drop in, tune in, and turn off, or tune in and tune up.
Oh, yeah. I took a meditation yesterday, and I worked with the, well, I call it the Chichon. You're one of your oils.
Chichon. Yeah. Well, hey, listen, the plumed serpent came down the stairs at El Castillo in Chichen Itza yesterday.
So it was the perfect one to work with. It was calling to me loud and clear.
There are so many guides that are available to us. There's so many wonderful cultures out there.
Yeah.
Traditions and symbols and all kinds of tools to work with. And its day has come.
Yes. And it's so right there. I mean, I thought, well, what do I want to work on this time? And I thought, well, let's just hear what Spirit has to say. I mean, there was so much going on with the weekend and everything. And I had a full-on conversation. And I think that's another point that's happening right now, clearly, is that our channels are being opened. And we can channel, I mean, I believe we're always channeling mostly ourselves. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all one thing. So it's all yourself one way or the other. But we're being able to receive the messages a little more. I mean, they're right there, and we're coming up to meet them. So it's a really interesting time for listening, very much listening.
Well, that's what I was getting from my sister.
Yeah.
She had a little conversation with Mother, so I was like, okay. but... You know, that's always nice. I know that my mother is my sister's guardian angel many times, so
nice.
That's a good thing. It just means that the channels are open right now. When I go up and I look, and we used to do this in a group, and we were always seeing this net around the planet, and it became tattered and tattered and more tattered, and I went up, and I could nary see any. The last time I did that, which was not long ago, it was about 3 days back. I just don't see that net being able to keep people at a distance or keep dimensions at a distance. I don't know how to quite say that.
I think I know what you mean. So the blocks aren't there, but you said you didn't see anything, like you didn't see your guides, or you didn't see...
Oh, no, I didn't see any nets. I didn't... I saw maybe tattered remnants going off a flagpole of some kind.
Wow. Wow.
Kind of thing. It's like there's an open field right now, and I'm sure that all sensitive people are picking up on that openness. I think it's recent, and I think it has to do with that Grand Cardinal Cross that we just combined through. It happened at the end of the Mayan calendar in 2012, that all of that energy and those vortexes. And then it just closed up this last week. And I think very much that's one of the reasons we are being urged to face our fears without any kind of blockage now and let them go or transmute them for the gifts that they really are.
Isn't that just a wonderful thing? Do you believe that we, as the light workers and the first wave of ascension, do you think that we had a hand in taking down the net?
I'm going to say something that's going to sound funny, but I think that all humanity throughout time had a hand in taking down the net.
Awesome. Great answer. Yes, that rings so true.
But it may be the way I'm writing right now. So.
Well, I just remember my father years ago telling me that there was such a thing as a neural net around the planet, and that it was keeping us in a certain vibration and has been here. So he was like, eventually they will have to come down. Let's see what happens. And this was like 12, 15 years ago.
You know what? I think what happened was that at Harmonic Convergence in 87, an energy poured through the sun from the heart of heaven. And it began to dissolve throughout our solar system, dissolve the nets that were even the asteroids, dissolved the little shrouds that had been placed around to control this system. Now I'm getting woo-woo, aren't I?
No, that's exactly, you're giving science behind.
I think that's exactly what happened. The energy was anchored through the sun, through Ahakhan, or through Ra, whatever resonance you calibrate to with the sun, which is our life giver. You could call the sun Jesus, too. You know what I'm saying here?
Yeah, the life giver. Yeah, right.
Or you could call the sun Isis in many ways, too. But it was actually Isis sending it out from the heart of heaven into the sun and restarting, an energy that would enable a progressive evolution to begin. And it's taken, 30 years. And I think the Cardinal Cross that began in 2012 and just culminated was the dusting off, if you will, the removal of the last vestiges of that shroud that was resonating around all of these bodies in our solar system, including Mother Earth. And now it's up to us, because if we're looking without any blinders on, we have the balance again. There's going to be the dark and the light. So you got to hitch up your game, you know what I mean? You got to put your boots back on.
Right.
Do I sound funny when I use metaphors like that?
Not at all. I love it, because it just takes me in and I can feel it.
I, to be perfectly clear, what it is that if you've studied the timelines of the progression of evolution on this planet, you understand that humanity represents an anomaly. Homo sapiens sapien, which is who we are, and that's what I mean when I say humanity. I have no doubt that all life forms in third dimensional life throughout this system have actually been kicked in the prat and said it's time to evolve. We've progressed through each of the houses of the constellations that put the major influences over this system. We've gone through them. As you say, we've just come out of Pisces. We're going into Aquarius and in those constellations, which is a reboot, a new beginning. And a new beginning is an evolutionary leap. Well, we see it in terms of the spiritual side is more clear for us. The physical, the actual physical side is here too, waiting for us to kick in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, it's not just children are being born now with more brain turned on than ever before. That's a huge evolutionary step, even if they can't understand what that part of the brain is going to be doing or what this more brain function is actually enabling in this generation, in the last couple of generations. It's still happening. We, of course, realize that we can use white light visualization and light techniques to begin rebundling our DNA and turning it on and turning our bicambrial ability of left-right brain on. We do that through, that's what a lot of the New Age movement's been about. A lot of these different techniques for healing, a lot of these different techniques for meditation. They're all about turning the physical body on as well as the spiritual body hooking back up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bringing it into the body and then stepping out into the world. That's what Matt Kahn was saying that really rings true. It's like we've gone through all of this, however we've done it, and to whatever extent, I mean, it's what you did. So the white lighting and the calibrating and working with the essential oils and meditating and exercise, anything that we've been doing now, it's been turned inward, like looking at what's the clearing, what's the past. And now is the beginning of stepping forth back into the world and integrating not only in yourself, your spirit with your body, but now integrating your integrated self with the world. So it's like we're plugging into a lot of different places, but it's really just one place, and then it's all together. Does that make sense?
Well, the clarity is, if you talk to people about sensuality, our sensuality defines our sense of reality. You know, what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell is informing our conscious awareness constantly. And the big leap is about why we want to turn the brain on is that we want our complete or our fuller sensuality to enable us to make a consciousness leap, or multidimensional, if you will, because our fullest sensuality is not just the vision of our eyes, but the vision in our mind's eye that connects to a reality, another reality. Our sensuality, that's clairvoyance, you follow.
Mm-hmm.
Our ability to hear when other dimensional beings are trying to communicate is called clairaudience. It's a fuller opening, expanding of our sensuality in hearing. So, and on through all of our senses. So it's not really a sixth sense. It's a fuller awareness, a fuller expansion and opening of our five senses that completes us. And it's not a sixth sense, but it's a different consciousness.
Nicely said.
I hope so. I'm sitting here going, am I saying that? Yes, she's saying that. Oh, do you think she's saying that?
I can't tell you how familiar that conversation sounds to me. But see, that's part of it. That's part of letting the channel talk, because we know things, but how do you say it right now? And there's certain ways, certain words, certain vibrations, and they come out that way. And it's like, okay, so that's the way we said that.
Well, it bothers me when I tell somebody, you know what, you know, there's just no way to really know the truth anymore. We're lied to by the media so much and yada yada. I said, wait a minute. You keep yourself fascinated with life on planet Earth, so you learn and grow by just getting as much information as fascinates you. And in that, you filter the truth for yourself through your own heart. And people just don't understand. Some people just don't understand what you mean when you say that. And it's very difficult to say to them that, you know, you're born with innate qualities of a sense of right and wrong, good and bad, dark and light. And they've all been given to you through your senses, but they're also the home base of consciousness. And so feeling it out is not a wrong thing. Even if we turn out to, okay, I thought that was probably true, it turns out it isn't, what did I learn and grow from it? So there's no right or wrong in that. Consciousness is a slippery tool to work with, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, you know, this is advanced citizenship here, you know?
Right. And I feel that the truth can be very easily seen, because first of all, What is truth? Truth is what is true to you, what rings true to you. And all of us have a certain, have an innate want for love and light, no matter what we're doing. So that's where the truth resonates with us. We go, that feels like love and light truth. And it doesn't mean, like you said, you can get confused. Some things are very good at masquerading as that. But once you have learned it, especially with philosophies, things that you're really going to take into account, like into integrating into yourself on how you're going to be, it has to be self-guided with what the truth feels like. And everybody knows what the truth feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, you really, really do. And that's the only way. So then once you get good at recognizing what the truths are to you, because when you know your own truth and you know what you're operating in and you don't have to search for the answers of what you're doing generally, then the things you go, you know, you listen to a lot of light workers and I always gauge them. I mean, I'm ruthless. Like, you have to say nothing that doesn't make sense in terms of, you know, not how you say it. We all kind of play around with that, but like, what's your general point? And you can see the ones that are making sense, everything they say makes sense. It's from their point of view. And then the other ones, you're just like, okay, you're still kind of in it. Like, you're feeling things about it. And it's like really your lens, which, you know, there's someone for everyone. But again, the truth, I think people should trust themselves with knowing.
Yeah, that's a wonderful word, trust.
Yeah.
I think that's you have to have that in your get kit for the 21st century. If you don't, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, trust yourself and only yourself, really. You're the guide, you're the gauge, you're the truth seeker, you're the one that says whether it feels good or not.
Well, and the other part to that is the polarities are getting so striking and so strong. You know, I mean, who of us can't sit down and watch the news and see the truth, really, even when they're giving us a load of crap?
Right, right.
You know, it's like, no, excuse me, but that, there's nothing right with that. That's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to that position, it's stunning. Yeah, folks are like, I just can't believe he said that. Well, do you? You know, I mean, if you can't believe it, is there a good reason why?
Right. Exactly. And I think everybody knows how to do that. You know, it just takes a little courage and a little trusting in yourself and trying, seeing, all right, this feels like the truth to me. Let me check it out and then take a tally of what that voice and what that feeling is.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that. I wonder how many people are using, I find myself using symbolistic tools a lot more lately than I have, and I go in cycles with it, but like picking a card a day, drawing a rune a day, that kind of thing. Do you do that kind of thing?
I don't, but I've been picking more often. For instance, I was it's so random, but it was so obvious, and that's why I think if you've never worked with spirit, now is the perfect time to start, because it's so obvious. I was asking whether I should just cut my cat's nails myself or take them across the street and spend the $25. So I kept asking myself the question. So I'm looking at the goddess guidance oracle cards. They're like, pick me, pick me. I was like, all right, let's pick a card. And what did I get? Solace, which is bodies of water, and the place is right next to the water. And it's all about cleansing and, you know, doing what you need to do to be able to feel comfortable. And then I was like, okay, I guess we're going. How about what's the final message card? And it was Mott, the goddess of cats, standing there in all her glory with petals, flower petals around her looking clean. I was like, okay, so we're calling right now, making an appointment. I mean, it can be that simple, and they're right there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yesterday, I couldn't pull a bad card. I pulled two cards for me. I know when to quit. I pulled from the top deck. I pulled, good Lord, what was it? Hang on, I'll tell you because I posted it. I pulled, oh, jeez. I know what I pulled from the Voyager, but I can't believe I'm not right. Oh, I pulled the Universe from the top deck, and then I pulled the Nine of Cups from the Voyager deck, which is one of my favorite cards.
What does that mean?
Well, Nine of Cups is often seen as fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, and I posted a picture, and a lady named Erica said, yes, but what do they have to say? And that's a very good question. So the symbolism of the universe, from the top deck and the imagery there, it's essentially representing endings, which means new beginnings at the same time. And it tells me to find my conclusion, stop delaying any process or project, to go for it, which is very auspicious. And a second card, which I really love, James Wanless's Nine of Cups in the Voyager deck, is fulfillment, and it's a state of emotional satisfaction. Another sign of completions, you know. But it's also a time to recognize your achievements and accept your losses and carry on. The inner rewards and wisdoms that you have strived for are being fulfilled. And that was really good. And then I had a friend asking me questions. I pulled two cards for her. You're not going to believe this. I pulled the Sun from the top deck, and in any deck, the Sun is just absolutely wonderful. That is a very good sign. That's wellness, that's success, but that's just being happy and living in the Sun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the second card I pulled for her from the Voyager was the Ten of Cups.
Wow.
Which is a little bit better than the Nine Cups.
Well, it's right there. The Nine is the end, the 10, the 1, the 0. That's like the next step.
It really was. It was really kind of very cool.
Wow. Isn't that... Well, I have to say, I definitely am feeling a more satisfaction and comfort in self than ever. Like, it's kind of shocking because I've been going for days and days and days, and then certain things are happening and it just makes me so happy. And it could be a very small thing, just from traveling for a week and then coming home. I was so excited to come home and so excited to see my cat and so excited just to be in my bathtub, and I just had the greatest time by myself. And so there is this new feeling of contentment, and especially if you're someone that likes to get things done and has felt like you're going and going and working and fixing and switching it up and doing it, and, you know, to actually finally, after years, have this feeling of, okay, yes, this is good. We are doing a good job, and like really believe in it, not just going, okay, it's fine, we're doing a good job, it's going to be all right. You know, white knuckling.
Well, we go through those cycles, mm-hmm. You know, we go through necessarily too. And I think there's an upswing for people who've been working hard. I think one of the indicators of that is that, the energy, you know, that shroud that has been around us energy-wise to keep us stuck in a pattern has been dissolved. And we've been part of the dissolution of it, you know. And it tells us that, you know, hey, enjoy the moment and carry on, you know.
Yes, that's the whole
thing. It's really important.
So important.
We have all these wonderful tools to work with.
Yeah.
So it's the symbolism, the plants, the sense. It's about your sensuality. When you're looking at symbols, your brain is being impulsed with, you know, pictures and symbols and thoughts, thought forms. And they are wonderful indicators and little leaders.
And they work. They light things up and wake things up. I think that's a wonderful thing for people, whatever level you're on, to get a deck that speaks to you, really, that you just go, wow, this is beautiful, and I like it. Then that's the deck. And to pick cards and ask different questions and then see what convinced me that the cards worked. I mean, I'm such a believer, but I'm also such a doubter at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that convinced me that the cards actually are doing what you think they're doing, giving you messages, oracles, divine guidance, is quantum physics, that there are many options until you focus on one. So when you ask your question, you go, I'm looking for this. So you're setting your strain of intention and vibration. And then the guides and spirit that is always all around us, that is us, comes and answers it, always, will always be there for you. And so it really doesn't matter, because you don't know what the card's going to be until you flip it over and focus on it and look at it. So
yeah,
it's not that you're picking the right or wrong card. It's that that's the card that materialized into the card that you picked.
Okay.
So, because you don't know, nobody knows until you look at it, but now you've focused in on it, you've made a choice somehow, even though you're like, I don't know what was on the other side. Doesn't matter. Something has chosen to be the card. So with that in mind, when you pick cards, you know, even if maybe you don't understand what they're saying in the beginning, to just take a moment and look at it and not have to understand everything or anything. And then see during the day, maybe there was an owl in it. So did owl things come up, or things about seeing the unseen, or deception, or wisdom, or things like that. And then that's what you're talking about too, is the strengthening of the symbolism and understanding what it's saying to you.
Absolutely. Well, I also think this is an excellent time for people to begin and study new things and learn and grow, you know?
Yeah, and follow the bliss, like whatever looks like fun or whatever you think you might be interested in, go for it. I mean, that's since the veil is so thin now, whatever your impulses are, they really are divine. It's another thing that Matt Kahn said. I really like this guy. He's really speaking to me. He said, imagine that everything you do is divine word of God. Like, just try it for a few days. Like, every impulse you have, every thought you have, is this the divine word of God? And he was like, just say yes. Just assume that it is. Of course, in the beginning, everything is not. But you see how that feels, and then you go, yes, well, this definitely is. Like, you know, and it's always the divine word of God, always feels good, always is the truth, always is love and light. And he said, and eventually, you know, you clear out enough muck that everything really is a divine guidance. So tuning in with that, and that's what you were saying about using your sensual senses to more of their capacity.
He's basically saying, follow the shaman's path.
Right.
He's basically saying so. And I've always done my best to do it because it fascinates me. I love what I learn when I'm studying a shamanic path in any culture or through any art. You know how important art is to us right now? It's very important. It's enabling us to create our visions, you know, and we desperately need new visions, unknown visions have got to manifest now. And so art is incredibly important.
And speaking of art, our intuitive drawer, Zion, who's on Spirit Therapy, NYC, one of the recent drawings that was intuited is an angel with huge wings up, but she's holding her leg. She looked like she might be weeping or just looking down, maybe in despair. And above her is a huge bird. It could be a phoenix, could be a hawk, bringing her a key. And like he's about to land right there with her, and he's bringing her the key to heaven. So,
you know what that says to me? To people who have been working so hard and have utterly given up.
Right.
Now is the time to look up and see the angel because they're there.
Yeah. And know that you are the angel and you do have wings. You can use them.
It's a message of hope.
Right.
Which is what we need right now in so many places. No place more so than our own hearts. We can't let that lamp go out.
Right. Absolutely. And doing what you love and feeling what the truth and the love and the light feels like tunes us into that heart chakra, into that heart center, into the Christ consciousness. By the way, just Christ has been coming up so much lately. My whole time with Diane, I mean, Christ was like we're talking about our best friend that just, you know, it's like your boyfriend that you can't stop talking about.
Oh, really? What was on the agenda?
Well, I'm reading this book, which I'm about 100 pages from the end, and it is so wonderful. It's called The Nine Faces of Christ.
Uh-huh.
And why it's so wonderful is because it's from the first person. It's Jesus telling his own story, probably from the end of his life, or maybe from spirit, who knows. But he says, you know, when I was 8 years old, this happened, blah, blah, blah. I met the Druids when I was 17. I met the Magi when I was 21. And you see all of his trials and tribulations, and he talks about how he feels, and you see the despair, the anger, the flesh lust that he's like, how can I be worthy if all I can think about is this golden girl that he saw, this beautiful girl that he's in love with. And so he's going through all of the things that we're all going through, and it resonates so true. I mean, you feel like you're reading your own story. And so you think about, well, why? And then you see, well, Christ is, that's why we all love the Christ story. The heroine, you know, the Muhammad, the Buddha, the Osiris, you know, everybody.
The hero story.
The hero story, right.
The hero myth. Does he talk about being a husband and a father?
Not yet. He's about 21 right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's been through major trials through all these guys, and they keep saying, oh, it'll take you this many years to do this and that many years to do that. And he thinks he's done where I'm at right now, and they say, oh, well, if you want to learn X, Y, and Z, it's 7 years with these people. And he just breaks down and cries and says, you know, when am I going to be worthy? Who is going to tell me when I'm worthy? And one of the guys says to him, ask yourself. You're the only one that has that answer.
Yeah. Yeah, that absolutely. And, you know, you're talking about art, and you're talking about a book, and sounds like some Ascended Master information in it there.
Yeah.
And I read something years ago that was a lot like that. I also would recommend I Remember Union, the channeling of Mary Magdalene. It takes place from the swing between worlds with Jesus and her and Judas Iscariot before they're incarnated, and then afterwards, afterlife. What do you call it? I was going to say the books and the movies and the stories that are pushing us to expand our awareness and to allow ourselves to imagine a more, well, fantastic and then also a more human version of many of our hero stories, because they essentially are us. They are our own archetypes. But there's a new show that's come on to, I think it's the FX network, called Dig, and it's about end of days, and it's got the second coming involved in it, and then some ancient Jewish revelations in it too, and archaeology in Jerusalem, and it's just very fascinating. It's called Dig. But all of these fictions, if you will, or stories that are being shot out there for us are giving people the opportunity to what if.
Right.
Because a lot of them are put together very well using a lot of very firm evidential and tangible stuff in them.
Yeah, like Grimm. I mean, you could turn me on to Grimm, and I am so addicted. I marathoned like 7 episodes, and I thought to myself, why do I love this story so much? Well, it's sights unseen. It's people are more than just people, and certain and there's the subject of the episode, but then there's also every character's story progresses a little more, a little more, a little more is revealed about who they are, what they're doing, what their story is. So it is just captivating. And
yeah, I like Grimm myself.
Yeah.
It's one of my faves.
And it's just wonderful that they're making shows about, you know, not everything is what it seems. A lot of things are more than what it seems. But also, at the end of the day, they're people, and they're making good decisions or bad decisions or end up somewhere or whatever. But it's really about inclusion, and I really love that.
Some of the most popular genre for the last 10 years has been about gothic, horror, supernatural, sci-fi, which stands on a platform of what if, with expanded sensuality as its basis. Did you know? Did you realize that? And I mean, I got to ask you a question. Who says that some of the fairy tales are not true? You know,
exactly.
It just, you know, of course, I'm German and Irish, so that Celtic tale telling is, you know. But then again, they found Troy. They uncovered Troy. They just uncovered another city. It's slipping my mind which one. All of these tales we thought were myths are turning out to have their bedrock in reality.
Right. We're going, wow, it really is true. There really are all these things. You know, there's a whole thing about the inner earth that I just realized. And I mean, I have a feeling that you knew all about it.
I explore that one so much because I'm trying to figure out how it's possible.
Well, it seems pretty possible. I mean, one of the things that I found fascinating was about where our fresh water comes from on the poles.
Yes.
And they were saying that there is a fresh spring that comes from inner earth, and that's the mouth of the spring. It comes up through our poles, and that's why it also gets warmer in the middle of the poles, and all our compasses, you're not allowed to fly over the exact top or bottom of the planet because you could get lost or maybe end up somewhere else.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah. And all the things about the birds migrating, oh, they were confused and their compass went wrong. But really, they may be just going to inner earth where it's warm and nice. Makes sense to me.
I always considered it something of a dimensional shift thing, but you just never know.
Yeah. I mean, anything's possible, so it's fun. So in our last 60 seconds, let's say explore things that are exciting and make you feel happy and
yes.
Bless the past.
Embrace your fascination.
Embrace your fascination and your fascination with yourself. Everyone should think they are the bee's knees. And if you don't, then figure it out why you are awesome. And we'll see you next week. No spirit therapy on Monday because it's my birthday. So yes. I will see you in April. And the political show tomorrow, 6 p.m.?
Yeah, the Sunday show, 6 p.m. with F. Wayne Johnson and Jack Jodell.
Great. All right. Well, peace and love, everyone. This has been the Consciousness Shift, and we will talk to you next week. Love yourself and love the world. Good night.
Goodbye.